Yes, I am all that, Mr. Holmes. And in addition, I am the most unfortunate man at this moment in London. For heaven's sakes, don't abandon me, Mr. Holmes. If they come to arrest me before I've finished my story, make them give me time so that I may tell you the whole truth. I could go to jail happy if I knew that you were working for me outside.
Arrest you, said Holmes. This is really most interesting. On what charge do you expect to be arrested?
Upon the charge of murdering Mr. Jonas Oldacre of Lower Norwood. My companion's expressive face showed a sympathy which was not, I am afraid, entirely unmixed with satisfaction.
Dear me, said he, it was only this moment at breakfast that I was saying to my friend Dr. Watson that sensational cases had disappeared out of our papers.
Our visitor stretched forward a quivering hand and picked up the Daily Telegraph, which still lay upon Holmes's knee. If you had looked at it, sir, you would have seen at a glance what the errand is on which I have come to you this morning. I feel as if my name and my misfortune must be on every man's mouth. He turned it over to expose the central page. Here it is, and with your permission, I will read it to you. Listen to this, Mr. Holmes. The headlines are, Mysterious Affair at Lower Norwood. Disappearance of a well-known builder. Suspicion of murder and arson. A clue to the criminal. That is the clue which they are already following, Mr. Holmes, and I know that it leads infallibly to me. I have been followed from London Bridge Station, and I am sure that they are only waiting for the warrant to arrest me. It will break my mother's heart. It will break her heart. He wrung his hands in an agony of apprehension and swayed backwards and forwards in his chair. I looked with interest upon this man, who was accused of being the perpetrator of a crime of violence. He was flaxen-haired and handsome, in a washed-out negative fashion, with frightened blue eyes and a clean-shaven face, with a weak, sensitive mouth. His age may have been about 27, his dress and bearing that of a gentleman. From the pocket of his light summer overcoat protruded the bundle of endorsed papers which proclaimed his profession.
"We must use what time we have," said Holmes. "Watson, would you have the kindness to take the paper and read me the paragraph in question?"
Underneath the vigorous headlines which our client had quoted, I read the following suggestive narrative. Late last night, or early this morning, an incident occurred at Lower Norwood which points, it is feared, to a serious crime. Mr. Jonas Oldacre is a well-known resident of that suburb, where he has carried on his business as a builder for many years. Mr. Oldacre is a bachelor, 52 years of age, and lives in Deep Dean House at the Sydenham end of the road of that name. He has had the reputation of being a man of eccentric habits, secretive and retiring. For some years he has practically withdrawn from the business, in which he is said to have amassed considerable wealth. A small timber yard still exists, however, at the back of the house, and last night, about 12 o'clock, an alarm was given that one of the stacks was on fire. The engines were soon upon the spot, but the dry wood burned with great fury, and it was impossible to arrest the conflagration until the stack had been entirely consumed. Up to this point the incident bore the appearance of an ordinary accident, but fresh indications seemed to point to serious crime. Surprise was expressed at the absence of the master of the establishment from the scene of the fire, and an inquiry followed, which showed that he had disappeared from the house, and an examination of his room revealed that the bed had not been slept in, that a safe which stood in it was open, that a number of important papers were scattered about the room, and finally, that there were signs of a murderous struggle, slight traces of blood being found within the room, and on an oaken walking stick, which also showed stains of blood upon the handle. It is known that Mr. Jonas Oldacre had received a late visitor in his bedroom upon that night, and the stick found has been identified as the property of this person, who is a young London solicitor named John Hector McFarlane, junior partner of Graham and McFarlane of 426 Gresham Buildings, E.C. The police believe that they have evidence in their possession which supplies a very convincing motive for the crime, and altogether it cannot be doubted that sensational developments will follow.